Hi, welcome to Canal Street Chronicles podcast, Saints Chargers preview edition. I'm your host, Ralph Marlboro. We are joined always by Kevin Held from Akeem Drops the Ball and new Canal Street Chronicles contributor and our fearless leader, President Vice Chairman Dave Cariello. Dave, I'm going to start with this because I always like to plug my columns shamelessly on WWL. And basically, my theory is this week for the Saints is a turning point. And I know people are like, well, the season's, they're 0-4, they're kind of fucked anyway. But my feeling is this season, this game is a turning point, Dave, because if they go to 0-5, then you sort of have to readjust the win total down again. Like, we were really originally thinking 10-11 maybe, then we bumped it down to like 7-8. If they go 0-5, Dave, I think we got to readjust again, and I think we're looking at 2-4 wins as the ceiling. I mean, to me, this game Sunday is huge in the sense of if they don't win tonight, if they don't win Sunday, this season is just going to be even worse than we imagined it to be.
I don't really know if that's the case. I don't know if there really is that big of a difference between 0-4 and 0-5. And right now, I would say it's all garbage anyway, to be honest with you. Yeah, I don't really know how to reply to that one, Ralph, really, to be honest with you. I mean, it's just 0-4 is bad. 0-4 is worse, of course. But like I said, I mean, I just don't think that there's that much difference. Other than that's one less win they could tally on. Right now, mathematically, they could finish the season with a 12-4 record.
Yeah, but Dave, and we're, in case people are wondering why Kevin hasn't jumped in, Kevin is reading an article about how everything that's gone wrong with the Saints this year is Drew Brees' fault, and he's going to melt down on that in about 2 minutes. So be ready.
I'm fucking frothing right now, dude.
All right. But Dave, doesn't there come a point where like the Saints are like, you know, Drew Brees this week was like, hey, we've won 9 in a row, we've won 13 in a row, we could still turn this thing around. And like the Saints, even though they're 0-4, I get the sense that they really in that locker room believe that they are not a 0-4 team and they're going to get this shit turned around. Whereas if you get to 0-5, you kind of like, you know what? We can say that it's going to, but we know this shit is done. We're playing out the string, and it's the first week of October. Like, there comes a turning point where the effort starts to wane, and you see players not fighting through injuries. And I just feel like this Sunday night is that critical turning point.
You have a fair point. It's definitely possible. I mean, at some point, if they continue to lose, at some point there will be a moment where I think the losing will sort of snowball or you know, build on itself. And like you said, players won't fight through injuries. Players will care less, and it'll just become easier and easier to just keep losing. The big difference in my mind between 0-4 and 0-5 is that we've seen the Saints go 0-4 before in 2007.
Yes.
And they wound up winning their next four games and getting back to even.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I'll never forget them. They wound up losing that ninth game.
To the Rams. Winless
to the Rams on my birthday. Yeah.
They got housed.
Yeah, it was bad. And that sort of screwed up the whole momentum. And you kind of, you know, I often think back and wonder, you know, what if they had won that game? Maybe they could have kept rolling. So, I mean, the difference between 0-4 and 0-5 being, as far as this current regime is concerned, we've been at 0-4. We've never been at 0-5. That's uncharted territory. And, you know, so if they do win this Sunday, it's like, okay, this is one. And we know they can win. You know, we know they can put together a string of games here. You know, I would really like to see them get back to 500. If they can get to 4-4, then, you know, then things start picking up and things start heating up, and we can say, okay, you know, maybe this is possible, and maybe they can do that. So, I mean, we'll see. The problem, the big problem is Atlanta keeps playing the way that Atlanta keeps play, and the best we're going to hope for is a wild card. I mean, it's not even even going to be possible for the Saints to win the division. I mean, Atlanta just looks so
damn good. Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, we'll talk about possibilities and different things when they win. They got to win a game first. But
right.
to me, I mean, I sort of agree with you, Dave. I think they can dig. You know, I think they can dig out of this. And I would take them, you know, beat San Diego, have the bye week, beat Tampa, and then at least when they play Denver on Sunday night, we can be real excited and we can like be, hey, if they can go to Denver and get to 3-4, hell, shit, maybe this season can be redeemed. You know,
right.
I just want to have a little bit of excitement and at least maybe it'll be a little delusional, but I want to be able to talk myself into them being able to dig out of this. But to be able to do that, they got to win a couple of games in a row and string something together. Right now, Kevin is frothing at the mouth. It was a little bit of buzz on Twitter today about Adam Sheen on NFL.com, Shine, saying, look, the Saints, they have a lot of problems, and yeah, you can blame it on bounty, whatever, but it's really Drew Brees' fault because he didn't take $18.5 million like the honorable and decent and sainted Tom Brady, and by not doing that, he totally screwed the Saints, and they lost Robert Meacham, and they lost Carl Nix, and it's all Drew Brees' fault. And Kevin, I imagine you have some opinions.
Well, now wait, now before Kevin goes off on his 30-minute rant here,
a little shot.
I skimmed that article myself just before, and I mean, yes, he mentions the money aspect of it, but I mean, he seems to be, and Kevin can confirm this or deny this because he's got it in front of him, but it seemed to me like Shine's main argument, I'm not saying that he didn't bring up the huge contract and that handicapping the team with other players, but it seemed like his main argument for Breeze's selfishness, which is the title of the article, was just more that he wasn't there for the team in the off season, and, you know, he wasn't there during Bounty Gate while this whole thing was going on. He wasn't there in Peyton's absence. It wasn't necessarily all about the money. Yes, partially about the money was his argument, but it seemed like his argument was also just the fact that he wasn't there in the off season to do the work and all that kind of stuff. But we'll let Kevin recap and tell me if I'm wrong.
Kevin, go ahead.
No, that seems to be the big crux of the whole thing. Is him not being there in the off season, but he uses the contract thing as his main as his main talking point, as the big attention grabber, the whole his greediness, all that kind of shit. Now he goes on to say, you know, they have a team offered him 18.5, but he really wanted 23 million. Greedy, 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 blah, blah, blah. He won. Because, you know, like, he signed the deal in the middle of July. He won. Well, he then, like, after a couple of sentences after saying how he countered by demanding $23 million per season, the guy states the facts. Brees cashed in for 5 years and $100 million. So my high school, you know, my fucking fourth grade math here, 100 divided by 5 does not equal 23, Chief. It equals 20. So he didn't get what he demanded. He fucking negotiated. He compromised. The team, if you really fucking think that the New Orleans Saints couldn't have paid more than 18.5, I think you're full of shit, and you're trying to be the poor man's fucking Greg Easterbrook here.
Oh, my
Drew
God.
Drew fucking wiggled.
Oh, my
Drew
God.
Drew fucking wiggled. The team fucking wiggled, and they got to a fucking deal that, in the end, does not fucking cripple the team. It didn't fucking cripple the team. I remember our fucking podcast after he signed the deal, and we were all super fucking stoked because they weren't giving him an arm and a leg right off the bat, and the team was going to save money in the long run. The team was fucking making out better because of the way the deal was fucking structured.
Yeah.
But of course, no. Let's crush on Drew Brees. Let's crush on Drew. Let's go after Drew Brees. I think the only reason why this column exists is because this guy,
Trolltastic,
back in March, when he wrote this thing, nobody else was fucking saying it. Nobody else was saying blame Drew Brees, really. Nobody else. So this guy gets to pull one out and say, oh, see this? I get to trumpet this thing I wrote way long ago, and it makes me sound like I'm fucking brilliant.
Well,
because I called it, so to speak. I got to say Drew Brees was being greedy and it was going to cost the team, and now that the team is 0-4, I get to come in with the backhoe and knock all the dirt on the team, and ha ha ha, Drew Brees sucks, blah, blah, blah.
Why is it always on the quarterback or the star player to quote unquote do what's right and sign the contract early for stability or take a pay cut? Why is it always on him? Why isn't it on Roman Harper instead of taking 7? He could have taken 5. Or Bushrod instead of making 5, he could have taken 3.5. You know, why is
or
it on
Kyle Nicks or Marcus Colston?
Yeah, why is it always on the why is it always on Brees? Why does Brees have to give the Saints a discount, you know? And in real life, none of us do that. Nobody does that in real life, you know? But here's
the other thing. Technically speaking, Brees gave the team, when he first fucking came here, yeah, the Saints were offering more money. The Saints were offering more money up front. If the thing didn't work, Drew Brees would have been fucking done after that year. He would have gotten his money for that 1 year, and that would be it. He would be done. So he rode through the fucking contract, and mind you, they could have gotten a fucking deal done 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They could have gotten the deal done, and both he and the team couldn't come to a fucking proper-ass thing. They couldn't come to a fucking deal. So what does Drew go out and do? Drew Brees goes out and breaks one of the few fucking records that actually fucking matters in football. Breaks, fucking eviscerates it. And so now he gets to fucking say, hey, pal.
Pay me.
I just broke one of the all-time fucking great records.
Pay me.
Pay me my fucking money. Pay my fucking money. Oh, no. But he's selfish. And this shithead Shine gets to write his piece back in March. Where the hell is it? Although he isn't the best quarterback in the NFL, he says Brees earned that salary. Yeah, he ain't the best quarterback. You know what? Piss on you, Adam Sheen. Or Shine, right. I'm sorry. Piss on you, pal. Ain't the best quarterback in the league. Let me tell you, I understand the Aaron Rodgers, I understand that, but don't fucking sit here and tell me Drew Brees isn't in the discussion. Don't throw this dismissive, he's not the best. Like, don't fucking make that statement.
Yeah.
Don't make that statement. You come off like a shithead.
Well, and I think
you come off like a shithead. And then he name drops going on the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer sucks. God damn it. And he's not.
A, Carson Palmer blows. B, and maybe this is the more important thing, Ellen DeGeneres is actually from the fucking city, from Louisiana.
Does he have
fucking delighted to actually have the fucking team she roots for win a Super Bowl, and the guy who fucking quarterbacked them turns out to be a real nice guy.
Yeah.
So she fucking gets to know him. She gets to know the family. She goes out and actually reports. She does a goofy fucking tape segment from the practice facility back when Peyton was there in happier times, and everybody has a fucking laugh. And she hangs his fucking jersey up in the studio rafters, so to speak, and everybody has a nice laugh about that. So if there's some fucking talk show that's taped in Seattle and they want to, hang up. Well, fuck, you gotta fucking pick a great Seattle Seahawks player.
Yeah, Craig.
Only knows that you can find him. Yeah, Roger Craig. If you want to fucking hang, you want to fucking hang his jersey up somewhere, go ahead. or some shithead who tapes out in the L.A. area. Fuck, there's hundreds of you.
Well,
you want to hang some pro athlete jersey up that you are fucking connected with? Great, go ahead, go ahead. But what is that? What does that have to do with anything? What does him going on a TV show have to do anything?
I
don't get that. I don't get that.
This column, I just think it was weakly constructed and trolltastic in a lot of ways. But Dave, I always go to you. I think you have a because you're doing Canal Street Chronicles every day, and you really have a pulse on sort of where the fans are sort of ebbing and flowing with their delight, or in the Saints 0-4 case, their hatred and misery. Where do you feel like the blame for this 0-4 start? Where do you feel like it is, or where do you feel like it's trending towards? If you had to pick one.
I would say, you know, I would say to start the season, the blame was squarely on the defense.
Yeah.
And then I think it's sort of shifted toward the lack of a head coach. And I think currently that's mostly where it is. And for me personally, that's where I feel. I feel like this is a team that, of course, has the talent and, of course, is good enough and has been in games and in a position to win. And they don't seem to be – they just can't seem to, as Drew Brees would say, finish strong. But I would say right now people are realizing that not having a leader like Sean Payton is starting to hurt the team. I would say after last week specifically, the blame trend is toward the no-catching motherfuckers, and I'm not talking about the DBs, I'm talking about our wide receivers.
And Sproles.
Just today on the evening news here locally, they had a piece on Darren Sproles and how he missed that third down catch, how it could have changed the game, and how he realizes that, and, you know, that's never going to happen again. I would say there's been a little bit of focus on the no-catching motherfucker wide receivers, and sticking with that key term focus, I mean, I would say that they're not catching balls because there does seem to be a lack of focus. And again, I think that lack of focus is because they are without a head coach. I think this is a ship in the night without a beacon guiding them. And they really, really desperately need some sort of beacon. And I thought Drew Brees would his inner light would be beacon enough.
That's very poetic.
Yeah, I know. I'm waxing poetic here. I thought that his inner light would be beacon enough to guide this ship through the stormy seas. But I'm realizing now that Sean Payton's inner light is really the bright light that guides this entire organization.
Well, and that brings me to my next point. You know, Kevin... Lance Moore is going to be, you know, he's looking, I think, doubtful or out for this San Diego game. When they've proven they can't sort of plug in, they're having trouble just plugging in guys at wide receiver like they've been doing because they're really running out of bodies. I mean, if they don't have Lance Moore, Kevin, you're basically down to Colson on one leg because he's got the bum foot, and Devery Henderson, who looks old and slow.
What? Where are we getting this from?
Well, Devery Henderson had a drop, and he looks to me like he's not as fast as he was, you know, even last year.
I'm going to go on record and disagree with that. Okay. I mean, yes, he had a drop, But I don't know if that makes him old.
He doesn't look the same. He doesn't look the same.
Well, I mean, he's not catching. You know, he's not catching those 80-yard deep balls from Drew Brees. You know,
but
he used to be good for one of those a game.
But even still, even if you say Devery Henderson is completely healthy and he's as good as he's ever been, he's still like a number two or three receiver at best. So now you got Colston, your number one, who's banged up, and you got Devery Henderson as a number three, and you got Joe fucking Morgan, who the Packers dared to catch a pass, and he did it. So, Kevin, I'm concerned about the wide receivers going against the Chargers. Am I totally out of line to think that?
No. No. It's absolutely frustrating about that. I'm still fucking rereading
Engine.
It's just, you know, it's really kind of horseshit. It really is kind of horseshit.
Kevin, why don't you write a post about this on Canal Street Chronicles?
Yeah.
You see, I seem to recall you instituting a no F bombs policy.
You write it how you want to write it, and I'll just truncate whatever needs to be truncated.
There's going to be a lot of darked out material, I can assure you.
All right. It could be like a
government report on something.
Could be like a.
I guarantee you there's not going to be one Saints fan who's going to have a problem with you getting upset about this.
Yeah, and it can be like a CIA document from the 70s. It could just be blacked out here and blacked out there. It can be.
Well, I'll come up with like silly alternate words.
Well, it'd be like Mad Libs.
Yeah.
Delightful. Okay. Well, we'll work something out. We'll work something out on this. Because I'm going to need an outlet for this. Because this guy.
I want this fire. I want this fire on paper.
Yeah, I know. And that'll.
This guy, a bridge too far, and it's not even so much a troll job. It's like a fucking dung beetle. Who spun his ball and hoarded it, and now gets to unearth it and say, "Oh look, here's a little fucking kernel of something that I found that I can really use to my advantage." And now I'm gonna fucking spotlight it and try and make this a big deal, and I'm gonna hog all the credit for it. It's not a troll job. I'm flinging the crap against the wall. Nobody else was doing this. I now get to sort of take credit and be like the man out front. I'm going to make a fucking name for myself. Best of all, he launches this fucking thing. The weekend breeze is going for the next big fucking milestone in quarterbacking.
Yeah,
the fucking Johnny Unitas record. So it's perfect timing. Perfect fucking... Hang on. Perfect fucking timing, Adam Sheen. That's a great fucking timing for you. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. How can I aspire to have the epic sense of timing that Adam Schein has? Really, that's perfect. Dr. Fucking Who doesn't have that kind of timing with the fucking TARDIS.
Kevin,
he doesn't have that level of timing. That's perfect timing.
Kevin,
that's Hall of Fame. That's Hall of Fame caliber for NFL.com. That's fucking great. I guarantee you, Easterbrook and Goodell are probably Skyping each other right now, jerking it to this fucking column.
God.
It's great.
I can't get that image out of my head now. But, Kevin, you bring up an interesting point, and I wanted to talk about the Drew Brees record. You know, we all hope and hopefully he'll get the record against San Diego. They're not nothing special on defense. But, Dave, why do NFL writers – I feel like baseball writers are much more nostalgic and, Cabrera got the triple crown.
Because their sport sucks now and they have nothing to do but look back in the past.
But, I mean, Johnny Unitas was ahead of his time and they had a passing offense that was basically – you can look at the Colts and you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's the modern NFL passing game – they, Johnny Unitas and Weeb Eubank invented it, and they were ahead of this time, and his record was awesome. But why can't you say that and also say, you know what, Sean Payton and Drew Brees are kind of ahead of their time a little bit, and he's breaking an awesome record, and he's just as spectacular. Like, why do we have to always count
Drew Brees? If it was Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, they'd be, you know, going crazy over this record, and it'd be all over ESPN and NFL Network and all that. But I really genuinely think that because it's just Drew Brees doing this, that they're not really making a big deal about it. It's the same reason why I don't really feel like Drew Brees breaking Dan Marino's all-time passing record last year. That really wasn't that big of a deal either. Nobody really made that big of a deal about it. He certainly didn't win the goddamn MVP award. And now here we are in 2012, and it's looking like Matt Ryan is going to be your fucking NFL MVP.
Oh,
how pissed off
are you?
That would be insane. That would be fucking insane.
Think about that. Think about that for a second. How pissed off are Saints fans going to be if Matt Ryan wins NFL MVP this year, based purely on the fact that there's, you know, that there's nobody else out there, that the competition isn't as stiff? That's why there should have been a co-MVP award for Drew Brees last year. There should have been a co-MVP award.
Oh, my God. Well,
a fucking co-MVP, Steve McNair, Drew fucking Brees deserved a co-MVP.
Well, I maybe...
The man broke a single-season passing record, and he's got nothing to show for it but offensive MVP. That's the lamest fucking award I ever goddamn heard of. That's fucking second prize. That's what that is.
That is true. And Kevin, you know, I think Dave's point is valid. I don't, you know, the media, they just didn't cover the 5,000-yard, I mean, the breaking Dan Marino's record like you would think they would have got if it had been Tony Romo or, you know, it had been...
Because everybody was throwing for 5,000 yards last year. Matt Stafford threw for 5,000. Eli threw for 5,000. Tom Brady broke the record.
Not exactly.
Right. Tom Brady went over 5,000. In fact, Tom Brady actually went by the Marino record. So, obviously, it's a new passing league. All the rules changed. It helped out. They basically just gave the record away, blah, 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 blah. I said this after it fucking happened, and I said it repeatedly, and I will keep saying it until I'm blue in the fucking face. And, Ralph, you fucking touched on it. Unitas and company, they fucking revolutionized offense when everybody else was just run, all that shit. Brees and company, they took things to another fucking level, and he's getting stiffed for it. So in this whole big revamped offensive-driven, quarterback-driven league that the NFL fucking set up, Drew Brees stands above everybody in this new fucking era. Stands above everybody in this new era. And we're supposed to fucking penalize him for that? We're supposed to fucking... I mean, here's the thing. It's one thing, like, in fucking baseball, when a guy does something, you have to wonder if he's on something or some shit like that. When a guy, but if in baseball, if a guy does something amazing and there's no fucking connection to anything nefarious, immediately the comparison is, well, he's not as good as this or he's not as good as that. He fucking did it. He fucking did the numbers, and there's advanced competition, there's advanced this, advanced that, the game's been changed, tweaked and all that kind of stuff, so you can't hold the fucking time zone, the fucking era he's playing in, against him. You can't.
Yeah, and I think
He's in this, you got to judge him by the era he's in, and in this fucking era, he is the top dog.
Kevin, I think there's a sense in the national media, and Dave, you touched on a little, is that everybody's throwing for yards, not that big a deal, and you know this record by Brees is just gonna, in a couple of years or you know it's gonna be gone. I'm telling you, I think the Brees record from last year is gonna hold up a while, because it's really fucking hard. That is an obscene amount of offense that the Saints put up last year in an era of obscenity for offense. The Saints took it to a whole other level. And I don't think they act like just because a lot of people are getting to 4,900 and 5,000, the difference between 5,000 and where Brees is significant. I mean, you can't have a clunker game where you throw for like 225 and 300 back-to-back weeks. Then you're pretty much done. You can't catch up. You know? So I think maybe, Dave...
I mean, what was the total? What was the total he finished with last year? It was 50... Was it 50... 55? Was it 55 and change, or was it 54 and change? I can't remember now.
I think it's 54 and change. But, Dave, I mean, don't you think if this record holds up, it'll gain more...
If it still stands in 10 years, hopefully you'll have some intelligent writer who will come up with the idea, and it won't be Adam Schein, but hopefully there'll be some intelligent writer who comes up and says, you know what, Drew Brees broke Dan Marino's record 10 years ago. Nobody has even come close this year. You know, maybe that was a bigger deal than we thought it was at the time. Yeah, I think it will gain.
I hope it holds long enough for him to get into Canton.
I would assume that he's the first ballot guy. I would hope. I know you guys are naysaying that, I'm sure, but I would think that the longer time goes on, the record stands, that people realize what has been done. Will he get the respect he deserves? I don't really care. If he gets respect in 10 years, in my opinion, it's 10 years too fucking late.
Yeah. And I mean, I think he'll definitely be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But who the hell knows? The NFL, you know, they may say, "Oh my God, well, all these quarterbacks have all these numbers, and Drew Brees only won one Super Bowl. So, and God, we took two times to put Eli in, and he won two. And Brees, you know, so you never know what I mean. And the NFL Hall of Fame, it's only like 40 people, so you never know what the hell they're quite thinking." Kevin, how much do you think the chase of the record, and obviously Sean Payton's going to be there, but Joe Vitt and Mickey Loomis aren't, how much of the chase for the record and Sean Payton being there and the crowd in New Orleans, I think, is going to be really fired up for the record. How much do you think that'll help the 0-4 Saints or hurt them, that the crowd might get antsy and restless with them and turn on them quick?
I don't know. I don't see the crowd's not going to turn, but I tell you what, if the first quarter and the next offensive drive of the second quarter, they don't score a passing touchdown, I can see the fans starting to get really fucking antsy.
Yeah. 54-76 was the total in last year, by the way.
54-76, yeah, okay. 54-76, you've got a fucking average. You've got a fucking average, what, three? Where the hell's my calculator? Somebody's got a fucking, where's my calculator? I got a fucking calculator here.
342 every week.
Actually, you got to average more than 342 because you got a fucking decimal in there. So you got to average 343 a week.
Yeah.
Per week.
To beat it.
Ain't nobody fucking averaging 343 a week all the time. They're not. So that means you've got to fucking have games where you blow up and have 400-yard games.
Yeah.
You've got to have 400-yard games to counteract the weeks where somebody sort of shuts you down momentarily. Because there are weeks where Tom Brady doesn't throw for 300 yards. There's those games, so he's got to throw for 400 more. So 343 per week sustained excellence throughout the year. So, I mean, and you're right, from 5,000 to 54-something, that's like climbing Kilimanjaro and then suddenly looking up and saying, oh, yeah, fuck, I got to get to Everest. Shit.
That's a good analogy.
So,
I like that.
Have fun. Have fun, quarterbacks of the future. Have fun doing that. Have fun doing that.
Yeah.
Have fun. I'm not saying it'll never be broken. I'm not saying it'll never be broken, but God fucking damn it. The man rules the era right now. He's the king of his time, and he's the king of his fucking time, okay? And I'm sick and tired of the Adam Schein's of the world, the Priscos, all these shitheads who, for some reason, don't want to give the man his fucking due. They don't want to give the man his due for whatever fucking reason. They don't want to give this due. They want to focus on Peyton Manning because he's fucking hilarious in commercials, and he's a nice enough guy, and he wears his socks high, and he, you know, is just the consummate field general, or they want to fucking hype Tom Brady because he's the adorable boy who got the, who, great story, blah, blah, blah. You know, East Coast guy, blah, 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 all that kind of horse shit. And he's not fucking Tony Romo, who, you know, the fucking job of the Dallas Cowboys quarterback is about as relevant in present day as being head coach in Notre Dame football. It's fucking irrelevant. It's irrelevant. This is not the, this is not the 50s. This is not the 60s. This is not the 70s. Okay? Nobody gives two fucks who is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody gives really two fucks who's the head coach of the new, of the fucking Notre Dame football team. Nobody should really be giving two fucks about guys that aren't breaking fucking records. They're not fucking breaking records. They're not fucking breaking records.
Yeah.
Okay?
When
they fucking break the records, then you fucking come and get me and say, Kevin, we're serious this time. King's dead. Drew Brees has been eclipsed. He's no longer the master of his era. Guess what? Then we fucking put him on the pyre. We send it out to sea. We shoot the flaming arrows. It's the ending of fucking First Night. And it's great.
Oh, my God.
It's fucking great.
Night.
Okay?
Well,
we do the whole fucking deal because that's the end of his time. That's the end of his fucking time. Okay? But until then, give the fucking man his crown and let him sit on the throne unabated. Unabated. All right? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired because some shitheads want to try and fucking ice skate uphill.
I like that. That was righteous. That was, Dave, I think that was Kevin's really first meltdown of the year. And considering the Saints are 0-4, I'm pretty surprised.
I want to see it in writing.
Yeah. Dave, I was all ready to sort of make the pitch to you, hey, the Saints offensive line, it was really good against Green Bay as far as pass blocking, but it's been inconsistent this year. You know, should we be worried about the Chargers? But as hard as this is to believe, the Chargers might have as bad a pass rush as the Saints.
No, I don't think so.
The Saints have 6 sacks. The Chargers have 7.
Sacks don't mean everything.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But after the last game, I don't think it could be possible to be worse than the Saints. I just felt like, I felt the D linemen were just, you know, initiating contact, and then just it was like the Pro Bowl. I mean, it looks like they were playing in the Pro Bowl. Nobody was getting off blocks.
Oh, my.
They just, you know, there was, I'm forgetting the word I'm looking for, but, the ball would get snapped, and the offensive line and the defensive line would engage, and it was just kind of like the defensive linemen, the Saints guys, would just stand there and just get moved or just got told what to do. And so it's really hard for me to believe that there could be a worse defensive line out there that's playing like they're in the Pro Bowl.
That was tremendous. That is a great way to put it. And the frightening thing, Kevin, with this defensive line is it's got 3 number one picks and a high-priced free agent on it. And it still sucks balls.
How long has Bill Johnson been with this team? Is Bill Johnson a problem here? Does he need to be changed? I don't know what's going on. There is just absolutely no sense of urgency, no fire, no motivation. I get nothing from these guys. I get, with the exception of Akeem Hicks and Junior Gillette, I get nothing.
Kevin, do you have anything that you would like to see them try on the defensive line or a different type of defense? Maybe no, don't even have a defensive line. Just play 7 linebackers. Do you have anything that you want them to try on defense that's different because what they're doing now ain't working? Do you think there is a coaching solution that can be created by Spags?
No. I mean, look, until I see until I see some sort of demonstration of a solution, no, I have no reason to believe that Spags is going to figure it out. Look, I listened to you and Juge on a podcast, and Juge is saying that Spags is throwing everything out there, and you're saying that, and Juge gets fucking game tape or film or whatever he's got. So, and I know you are able, you know, you're able to fucking watch different things going on at a game that I don't fucking see. So I'll take y'all's word on it that Spags is already trying a lot of different things. So unless he wants to go completely fucking comical and do the seven linebackers like you're joking about.
Why not? It can't be any worse.
You know, well, I don't even know if they have seven linebackers on the team at
that
present.
Is true.
I don't,
that
I,
is. They don't have seven healthy ones, that's for sure.
There you go. So I it's kind of like at a loss. It's like they're just going to brain fart up and down the field, and they'll get some stops, and hopefully they won't get bled to death in every fucking game. I mean, that's basically the hope now with the defense. That's the hope. God, I hope I don't watch a guy get dumped in a bathtub and cut up. It's terrible.
Oh man. Dave, how, and you touched on it a little bit, but I think Atlanta being 4-0 and knowing that they are going 12-4 or 13-3 makes this season almost fucking intolerable.
It's difficult.
Wade only wins the MVP.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, I mean, Kevin's got a point. I mean, think about it. How upset are you going to be if Matt Ryan winds up winning the MVP? I mean, it's kind of like fantasy football. It's just all luck. You know, it just depends on whether you can put together a good year and nobody else has a good year. You know, no other quarterback has a good year. And that's what's frustrating to me. And again, like I said earlier, that's why I think there should have been a co-MVP last year, because Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers were both worthy of it. And unfortunately, you know, Drew Brees doesn't get the distinction of being the MVP last year. But had he put together a season like he did last year, had he done that this year, I think there'd be no question that he'd be the MVP. So what does it matter whether, I mean, Rodgers had a great season, had a good season, but I mean, you know, there were, and we talked about this last year, you know, there were cases for, you could make a case for each player.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was very even. Aaron Rodgers had, you know, less interceptions, fewer interceptions. He had a better quarterback rating. Drew Brees had the record, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and all the yards and touchdowns. So it's just frustrating, and it would be absolutely frustrating to sit here and have to watch Matt Ryan win MVP, despite the fact that he is a lesser quarterback than Drew Brees.
Kevin, if I told you the Saints were only going to win two games, but they would some kind of way ruin Atlanta's season and ruin the Cowboys' season, and they're beating Atlanta would cause them to melt down in the playoffs again. Would you be up for that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like we talked
about
this.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. But last week we weren't thinking Matt Ryan was going to win the MVP. So now I think it becomes even more important that Atlanta melt down in the playoffs to make us feel better about ourselves.
So is the question that us that will somehow prevent them from getting into the postseason, or
well,
we'll
no,
prevent
we,
them from what?
We prevent them from, say, being number one seed or getting a bye.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. Because,
even if it,
look, listen, the Saints aren't going to turn it around. I really don't see that fucking happening. So.
No.
At this point, it's like, if I can't win, you're not going to win. Whatever that means. Whatever it is that you're questing for. If Matt Ryan's questing for an MVP, I hope that they figure a way to sack him 8 or 9 times each game and find a way to pick him off repeatedly and make his quarterback rating just god awful.
Dave, I'm Catholic. Is it inappropriate for me to ask God to make sure Atlanta loses their first playoff game? Is that an inappropriate?
Isn't that what all Catholics do? Don't all Catholics ask for shit they're not supposed to be asking for and thinking God's going to help them? You know, like God doesn't have better things to do.
Pretty much.
So, I would say that's pretty par for the course for Catholics and Catholicism in general.
Yeah. Okay.
Way to bring religion into this.
I don't know. We got to touch on everything. You know, we try
doesn't
to.
Bother me.
Yeah. You know, let's one more thing, and then we'll get to the game. You know, we're going to bring politics in it, too. We brought religion, now we'll go to politics. Kevin, I feel like after the debate, they need to have post-game press conferences like ESPN does on the NFL after games. They need to interview Obama and interview Romney for like 20 minutes right after. Maybe you let Obama, like he has a shower and he's in a bathrobe smoking a cigarette, and then Romney's there. Like, I feel like I want him to ask him questions about like what went wrong and what went right, and I think that would be great, great entertainment for America. Am I alone?
I'm all for that. I will absolutely. What were you gonna say?
Well, I was just saying it would be great fun. I think it would be, you know, for, you know, Obama could be like, yeah, I'm sorry, I sucked balls last night. I was looking at my iPad. I was looking down. I was, you know, playing Sudoku. I'm going to get better. I was out in Vegas. I played a little blackjack too much. It was me and Michelle's anniversary, so you know how that goes. I just wasn't ready. But everybody, I got 10 days. I'm going to get my shit together. And Romney, he has no idea. And, you know, we're gonna get this shit together. Like, I feel like that would be fun, and Romney could be all confident, and he could be, like, doing that pointing and the smile, be like, yeah, they thought I was a stiff piece of wood. I came at him strong. Like, that would be more fun than all this spin bullshit that they do after, you know?
Right. Well, it's at least, listen, you're going to get spin and bullshit cliches anyway. So rather than get it from, like, 30 or 40 different people on 5 or 6 networks, you're just getting the bullshit condensed into 20-minute sections by the guy himself, preferably in front of a locker room in a bath towel, or hastily dressed and put up in front of a microphone with a backdrop in which they've got to sell a bunch of different ads to, you know, maybe try and get some money to save on the deficit or something like that. I don't know, maybe have Romney in front of like Chico's bail bonds or something like that.
And then you could have like one of those reporters, Dave, ask something really fucking annoying, and you could have them both like melt down, be like a coach, like, you know, when they ask them the dumb question as they're going into the locker room at halftime, and just be like Obama and Romney snap, be like, are you fucking for real, Michelle Tafoya? You really me asking me that? Get the fuck out of here. Like, I think it could be great fun for America, because you might get to see like a real moment of unscripted just pissed offness or glee. I think we need to have that.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see a little bit of that.
As long as you don't have Jim Lehrer asking him questions, I'm all for it.
And I would pay money to see the Joe Biden post-game press conference. Because I just think I love Joe Biden in every way possible, because you never know what he's going to fucking say. He could have a tall boy and be wearing jean shorts. I mean, it'd be spectacular.
I'm picturing that Ryan Leaf moment.
Oh my God. Like, no, he would, you know who it would be? It would be Joe Biden going after Geraldo. That's what it would be. It could just,
Geraldo.
Oh my.
I would love to hear Joe Biden field a question, preferably from somebody from Fox News, but whoever, just get somebody to ask a stupid question and pepper him with it a couple of times, and Joe Biden finally roll his eyes, look at him, grin his teeth, and go, that's a clown question, bro.
Oh my God, that needs to happen. We need to make this happen. We need to get it. Twitter trending or something. We need this. This needs to happen, not just for us, but for America. Dave, let's get to the game. last week was the first time I got the Saints game completely wrong. I thought Green Bay would obliterate them. But
I almost got my bragging rights.
You did. Dave, I got to tell you, we didn't even really touch on the whole game, but the Saints got every fucking break in that game, and I really thought they were going to win. I was like, they're winning this game because Green Bay, it's going to be the storyline. It's going to be Green Bay got screwed over by the ref back-to-back weeks, and isn't that terrible? And I just thought it was going all the Saints' way, and it just didn't. But how are you feeling for Sunday night?
I was more confident about the Packers game.
Wow.
I'm still slightly confident because it's at home, and they've beaten the Chargers before in fairly recent history. And I think if you've got Sproles on your fantasy team, I'd go ahead and start him because I think he's going to want to really put together a good game against his old team and say, you know, fuck you.
Yeah.
And Drew Brees, I think he's already played San Diego, and I don't think there's as much of that. So, but there's, you know, I would say my heart is saying, oh yeah, they've definitely got a chance, and I definitely would love to see them win at home finally, and I think they definitely can. But I mean, if I was a betting man, and I was putting my money where my mouth is, I wouldn't be as sure. But I hope the crowd's into it. It's a night game. Everybody will be a little liquored up. Night games are always a little bit louder and a little bit more wild. And I think they can definitely win. San Diego is not as good a team as Green Bay. If the Saints play like they did this week against Green Bay, they ought to be able to beat the Chargers. But like you said, the wide receiver is a bit banged up. San Diego has got a pretty darn good secondary. And this very likely will probably be a shootout.
Give me a score and give me what we're talking about on the podcast next week.
I'll go with 38-35 Saints. And like I said earlier, we'll be talking about Darren Sproles. He's going to just put up some ridiculous number for all-purpose yardage.
Kevin, me and you had fun at Joe Morgan's expense, but he did catch an 80-yard bomb. Before I get to your prediction and
To be fair, even the guy that they hired to do the Coca-Cola cash catch halftime entertainment probably could have caught that pass.
Yeah, he probably could have. He wouldn't have made it in the end zone, but he probably would have caught it.
Right, that's true. I will give Morgan credit for all the extra yak, as it were. But, I mean, as far as making the catch, I mean, you know, if he had dropped it, I think they probably should have just cut him right there.
Bus ticket home. But, Kevin, what are the odds that Joe Morgan becomes a viable deep threat on the Saints?
My kingdom for a deep threat at this point,
yeah.
A legitimate deep threat.
Like a legitimate deep threat where once or twice a week he's catching like a 25-yard pass. Like once a week.
Yeah, I mean basically you're Robert Meacham all-star type, like the kind of guy who'll go like, you wouldn't take him in fantasy. He's the kind of a headache player. He'll finish the season with like 7 touchdowns, but or 5 or 7 touchdowns. It'll be absolutely erratic. He'll finish with like 800 yards on, you know, I don't know how many catches. I'm terrible at doing math on top of my head right now. But, you know, 1 week it'll be 4 catches for 130 yards. The next week, 1 catch for 15 yards.
I'm saying, well, let's play a game. Joe Morgan, the rest of the year, over or under 23 catches.
23 catches?
For the rest of the year.
I'll take the over.
Dave?
For Joe Morgan? Oh, I would take the under.
Oh, okay. Ooh. We'll mark it down. So, Kevin.
Mark it an 8, Donnie.
Mark it an 8. So, Kevin, give me a score and give me what we'll be talking about next week.
All right.
So this will be okay. So me and you were down on the Saints last week.
We were.
Dave was the fucking optimist. This week, Dave is not not thinking that they're going to win, even though he's predicting them to win. He's thinking they got less of a shot. I think the fucking pieces are in place for them to win a game. It's fucking prime time.
Yeah.
It's at home. Breeze is going to break the fucking record. He's going to have Peyton in attendance. They're going to be... I feel like that's the over-under. Over-under number of times the cameras find Sean Payton. I think you got to set the over-under in the 30s somewhere.
I was going to say a dozen. You're saying 30? That's six. That's 7.5 times a quarter.
I'll tell you what. I'll cut it down. Maybe I'm being overzealous. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I have a habit of that. I'll cut it down to 18. 18 from the time the broadcast starts.
From the time
Faith Hill starts singing.
I say over for that. Dave?
What is this? What are we doing? Over and under for what?
Shots of Sean Payton.
The number of times Payton is seen.
30 is ridiculous. 9.
Under
12.
You're under. So Kevin, did you give me a score? I'm sorry, I was.
Oh shit! No, I'm sorry. I didn't give you a score. I am gonna say 27 to 20 Saints. I think Garrett Hartley comes in, makes 2 field goals, makes an easy one, and makes one over 40, and shuts a lot of those fucking people up that wanted to give him the fucking bus ticket back home after the Green Bay game. I mean, some of these fucking people, they're tweeting, oh my, dude, we got, hashtag we got this, and we're up, we're up in the fourth the whole time, hashtag we got this, blah, 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 oh yeah, we're coming back, we're going to win this game. Suddenly, all this unbridled fucking confidence, where did this shit come from all of a sudden? And then Garrett Hartley fucking misses it after making the one in the first place. Now it's, oh, this guy's fucking terrible, blah, blah. This guy's fucking awful. Where's John Casey? Get me John Carney. All this other shit. Blah, blah, blah. Suddenly it's despair and all the venom is on this guy. Get your heads out of your asses, people.
And also,
get your heads out of your asses.
Garrett Hartley, he basically had to prepare to kick it 3 times because he made it. He lined up again, and right when he was about to kick it again, they had a penalty where Green Bay was offsides, so they moved it up 5. So really, he had to prepare mentally to kick it 3 times. But, Kevin, I'm going to say the Saints, somebody is due for a fucking beatdown over this, just all the crap the Saints have dealt with all offseason. Somebody is due a beatdown, and the Saints are going to give it to them, and I think it's this week. Because the Chargers are the perfect team. They're 3-1, but they have Norv as their coach. And I think Norv is going to look up and be like, why are we losing 28-7 to the Saints in the second quarter? How the fuck is this happening? And I even think, Dave, to top it off, Roman Harper is going to have a pick 6.
Good luck with that.
That's how crazy the shit is going to get Sunday.
Yeah, couldn't catch a cold.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, my friend. We'll put it on the board. So, also, Kevin has gone to Canal Street Chronicles and is now a regular contributor. So he will have angry rants up on Canal Street Chronicles, probably about certain Drew Brees articles. So look forward to that. So
yeah, I like that. Put the pressure on him. I like that.
I like that. And he needs the pressure. Well, don't you, Kevin? You like it though. You deal with it good.
You don't get fucking diamonds without putting pressure on Cole.
Come on, man. I did stand up comedy with you where I got booed off the stage and then you went up after me and you got booed off the stage. You know what pressure is. So come on.
Hey, I know exactly what pressure is, and that's when I started drinking and I started getting better.
That's exactly. That's the key. So for Kevin Held, for Dave Cariella, I'm Ralph Marlboro. We will talk to you Sunday night, special late night post-game show. Please, God, don't let the Saints be 0-5. Until then, so long, people.
Drew's crown.